The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Welcome to another episode of The Push. My name is Sean, and I'm joined once again by my co-host. Kick it over to you, Benny. What's up, bro? How you doing today?
Hey, everything is going all right. You know what I'm saying? Just trying to avoid certain things in the atmosphere. And no, I'm not talking about that.
But that too. Because folks are being real dumb and stupid up out here. So good to see you doing well. Mo, how you doing, bro?
I'm good. Just waiting to record with your guys again. So let's get it on.
Cool. And Dwayne, bro, what's going on?
Nothing much, man. Just glad to be here. Glad to be back with you guys.
Definitely. So as we promised at the end of the last episode, we're going to dip into some more hot takes today. But before we get into today's topics, I want to throw it back to the last episode and actually talk about Dwayne's disinterest in AEW. And what we've learned is since our last time, Dwayne has checked out a little more of AEW, and I'll toss it back over to Dwayne so he can tell us about how he's feeling, if it's a little bit of the same, or is he opening up more to AEW? So Dwayne, what's up? Where are you at with AEW now?
So where I'm at with AEW, I took your good brother's advice, and I first want to thank you for the what to look for and the honesty. So thank you for that. So now I looked at it, and I was actually impressed. There's more continuity. I learned, you know, that there is a lot of talent there, a lot of, you know, it's a great alternative to the BS that we get from WWE. See, it's so shitty, I can't even say it right. I really kind of just went back to the dog collar match. That was a great match with Cody Rhodes and, well, Cody at the time before he got his name back, and Brody Lee. I also liked was interested in the disinterest of Kenny Omega teaming up with Hangman Page. Always showing up for his matches, then leaving at the end. Like, okay, like I did what I came to do. Now I'm gone. I like Ricky Starks. MJF is probably one of the best heels in AEW, if not the best. And of course, you can, like Sean, you always said, like a few weeks back, that you can never go wrong with Chris Jericho. And I didn't realize how catchy his song was until I saw the crowd singing it, like, right at the end. And you could tell Jericho didn't want to break character, but he loves every single moment of the crowd feeding into the song. So I really think that, you know, at first when I watched it, I think it was just because it was brand new, and I guess there was kind of like a impatience on my part, I could say. And, you know, I guess you expected everybody hyped it up to be something, and I guess I was just kind of like, well, I'm not seeing it right now, but there's still things that need to be worked on, like everything, but what I felt before to what I felt now is completely different. I won't say it's a complete 180, but it is something that does grab my attention a lot more than what it did.
Dwayne over here bullshitting, yo. He all up in the AEW now. Y'all saw how he just ran through a whole bunch of shit, but then...
yeah, he did.
But then at the end, he wanted to dial it back, you know? So... Dwayne feeling the shit. Don't fake the phone. He feeling it.
I can't get shit by you, Ted.
I mean, look at his header, though. Come on now.
Oh, yes. Shout out to my header. Shout out to the Young Bucks. We're super right. Kicking Tony Schiavone.
So, that we're was gonna, beautiful. So,
you're not going to talk over me because that was
we're gonna great TV. We're gonna move on.
Why are we moving on?
We're going to move on. Oh, snap. You know.
I will not be silenced. You can be all you want, but Tony Schiavone might get kicked with everything.
All right. So, you know. This is just a reminder to cut this part out of the episode during the process. And we're going to jump into some hot takes. And since we just talked a little bit about AEW, one thing that Dwayne didn't mention, which is quite alarming. Well, not quite alarming because we all touched on this. You know, Dwayne just ran down everything that he enjoys about AEW. He didn't mention Moxley once.
Because I don't really care about his title reign anymore. Like,
I mean, that's real. So just using Moxley to kind of segue into Benny's hot take. And so, Benny, I'm going to throw it to you, bro. You wanted to talk about how the Shield ruined WWE. So you
okay.
Break it down for us.
All right. So these three guys showed up in WWE in, I believe it was late 2012, and I'm just talking main roster. And all of a sudden, you could just see the entire company going into the direction of these three guys. I mean, one of them who had a pretty cool match that I saw on YouTube against Davey Richards, I will admit, one of whom was okay, he was all right. I didn't know that he was necessarily anything special. And a guy who I have come to call Curly Sue. And just watching their rise, it's like, okay, they're okay, but as far as being like, okay, these are the guys that we are going to push for going forward. These are going to be the faces of the company. These are going to be our linchpins for the next 10 years. I just did not see it with them. And I saw, quite frankly, better guys or guys with stories being pushed to the side for these three. I mean, everybody from Finn Balor to Daniel Bryan to the guy who now calls himself Miro in another company, there are just so many people. I mean, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, even though I'm not a particular fan of either of those guys, but it's just like, okay, it's going to be these three guys. And especially around 2016, it was just my nightmare when I had the feeling, and I'm glad that they did this at a B-level pay-per-view where they had the triple threat match between them for, I think it was the WWE title, because I surely thought they were going to do that as WrestleMania main event. And that was just like, no.
Yeah, that was Battleground.
Okay. But yeah, I really thought that was going to be WrestleMania the next year, which meant that it would have been in Orlando, which meant that I would have been there. And I just would have been like, no, because I'd already sat through something. But actually, the main event that I got in Orlando wasn't much better, because it ended up being one of those guys who, yeah, having to watch Curly Sue win two WrestleMania main events in a row in person. But yeah, that's my main point. And I, you know, don't want to go on for too long talking about it. But yeah, it's just, you know, it seemed like that WWE pushed everybody else to the side for these three. Then they ended up souring on one of them, who ended up being the champion in the competing company. That was the segue into this. But yeah, those other two, yeah, I'm just not a fan. Probably will never be. So y'all go ahead and tell me I'm an idiot now, but yeah, that's just how I feel about it.
So I don't think you're an idiot. I just think that, you know, this is something that happens pretty much all the time. You know, some little hot shot comes in. And, well, I don't want to say all the time, but it's not the first time it happens. You know, I think the one thing I'm most critical on when I talk about the trajectory of all three members of the Shield, that everybody was booked wrong.
Way wrong.
You know,
yep.
I totally agree with Arn Anderson's point that the Roman Reigns that you see today should have been the Roman Reigns from jump. You know, Seth Rollins should have been, you know, even though he has come out to be the heel that I thought, well, that most people never thought he could be. You know, once he did the Authority and was, you know, performed at that level as a heel, and then you turned him babyface, like, nobody wanted to see that shit. Like, it was whack. And then that's another space where you're saying, okay, they're pushing this babyface Roman down our throats really fast. Nobody wants to see this. Seth Rollins did an unbelievable job as a heel. Now you're trying to turn him face and push him down our throats again. And then, like, I don't know what the fuck they ever thought they were doing with Dean Ambrose. I'll call him Dean in the WWE sense. Like, once the Shield broke up, like, he just looked like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, his character to me never made sense. You know, like, what the fuck are you? Like, we can sit up here and we can say, you know, Daniel Bryan is this, Kevin Owens is this, you know, Rusev was this, but I don't know what the hell Dean Ambrose ever was. You know,
they had him in 50,000 directions.
Just, you know, a rambling white dude, you know, with some hillbilly get up, jeans and a white wife beater. That's all the fuck he was. Nothing interesting about him is there. Nothing interesting about him at all. And then when you try to turn him heel, which everybody wanted from jump, then it was, yeah, let's make him a fake ass Bane and put a plastic mask, gas mask on him, you know, and look stupid as fuck. So I don't know, you know, I look at it today and, you know, I still wouldn't want Roman Reigns to be my top guy in the company, but I think he's playing the character that he should have been playing. This Messiah shit, like, I hope when he takes his paternity leave that this Messiah shit does not return with Seth Rollins. And for everything that we thought that we were going to get from Jon Moxley when he went to AEW, it's like, bruh, like, you still disinteresting as hell. So at a point, you know, we could dig into WWE a lot, but I'm at the space right now where I'm not questioning WWE anymore on their handling of Jon Moxley. Because to me, I'm not seeing it. It ain't there. Like, I'm literally, I groan every time Jon Moxley comes on my screen. Like, I don't want to see him. like the most interesting thing about John Moxley is his wife. I'll pass the baton.
It's funny that we talk about this. It's funny that we're talking about this right now. Moxley, out of all of them, he was the one I think that probably had the least. There was probably thought he'd be less successful of the three. Originally, you know, when the Shield was supposed to be getting called up, Chris Hero was supposed to be in Roman's spot, but when CM Punk was seeing who he wanted to be in that Shield role, and he wanted Chris Hero to be among the Shield, but the higher up said, no, we want Roman Reigns to be in the group. So this is why we've getting years and years of Roman Reigns shoved down our throat and everything. But back to Moxley, it's just he was groomed to be less successful one. And he had like spots here and there where we thought he would be good, but then, you know, things just fall flat. And then the fact is, another thing is they kept, you know, bringing them, breaking them up, getting them back together. And it was just like, okay, are you going to keep the Shield together or are you going to break them up? You know, what are you doing? What is creative trying to do? And then when we found out he was leaving, you know, all of a sudden it was just like, oh, we're going to have one last run. And then they had the special on the WWE Network where they was doing a house show, but then they had like the Shield farewell and everything. And it's like, they was really, I mean, they made an impact on the company in the time that they were together, but they really juiced them out towards the end because it's not likely we ever gonna see them all three of them together again in a wrestling ring again. So, I mean, while we can say they did ruin the business, like Benny was saying, they have had their spots where we were like, oh, okay, it's cool. They're fun to watch. They were, you know, the strong, you know, trio of individuals, you know, that we really hadn't seen since. I guess you could say the NWO when the NWO formed back in 96, 97, something like that, when it was the person we don't speak of, Hall and Nash. So, you know, and plus everybody dropping their announcements via promos, I guess it's like the viral thing now because he dropped that him and Renee expecting in his AEW promo. So that's that too.
Yeah, so I feel like this. I really was not a fan of either one, any of the three when they came in, especially Roman Reigns. I'm just like, why is this guy just going every single time? Like, and I was just like, does he have any charisma? Does he have any kind of other thing than just a yell? And then he gets shoved down our throats. Then he gives boring promos. Now, this heel version is an upgrade. It's something, like Sean said, it should have been from day one. But they wanted to just give us every single opportunity of showcasing him. When there, like Benny said, there were a whole lot of talented guys, even though he annoys the everlasting fuck out of me. Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Finn Balor. I think Balor with the injuries could have derailed his run at the top, but because we never really got to see him back in that main roster title picture like that again. Seth Rollins, I was over it when they turned him face, and I was really over when he was with Becky Lynch and he had the man's man shirt, which was like the most horrible marketing scheme I've ever seen in my life. Like that was just not it at all. And then Dean Ambrose, I think it was over for me when he had the United States title for over a year and never defended it except for like four times in a year. Like, who the hell does that? Who the hell gets away with that? And then you don't know if you want to make him a face. You don't know if you want to make him a heel. The greaser gimmick just was not it. Like, I felt like I was watching John Travolta in Grease when he came out at times. Or Deuce and Domino. That's who he reminded me of. There we go.
Oh, wow. What a throwback reference.
Yes. And now in AEW, it's just like he had a boring title reign in WWE. He had a boring title reign in AEW, I think. And that's why I didn't mention him. I did that intentionally because I don't care about his title reign. Like, to me, Jericho should still be the champion in AEW. And if anything, drop it to somebody who is more worthy of, like, give me Jericho, Omega, and AEW like we did in New Japan or something. So that's how I feel about that.
I think they're preparing.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, I think they're preparing for him to drop the title to Omega. I think that's definitely coming because they've been grooming Omega to be what he's supposed to be in Japan over here. So I think that title change is about to come at the next pay-per-view. Well, no, isn't it? No, it's December. It's the next month because it's supposed to be the whole. Yeah, I think it's next month or something like that. But yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
I was going to say, I was fine with Moxley's reign, but it should have ended in September. And I think when we look back at AEW, say 6 months or a year from now, if things aren't going as well as they could for AEW, that's going to be the moment that we look back to. And we're going to say he should have lost that belt to MJF at All Out. Because it made too much sense. MJF was on too much of a roll. Moxley was starting to get boring as champion, but he hadn't really fallen off the cliff yet. So it was just the perfect time for that transition to take place. Now, by dragging it out, you're going to have Moxley lose the belt to Omega. At the same time, you're going to have MJF meander through this whole thing with Jericho, which I think is going to bring MJF further down. And then you're going to have this whole thing with Omega and Hangman Page coming up. So by the time you get through all that, it's probably going to be next summer before we even see MJF back in the picture again. Who knows what Moxley's going to end up going to, because I really don't see anything unless maybe they decide to do something with him. Like, the most logical thing I could probably see is, like, him doing something against Team Taz. Like, him, like, starting something with Brian Cage or maybe Lance Archer or somebody. But it's just like, where are you going from here? Because I don't see much, you know, out of the top of the card except for the title picture. And, I mean, by then, it's like, So it's funny that Dwayne is now getting into AEW more because my interest is starting to slide and I just keep like, okay, please, Billy Corgan, you got to bring power back because I don't know if I can do either of these two companies anymore. But I just think now we're falling off the cliff with Moxley, and everybody knows he's going to lose to Omega. So it's kind of like, hey, y'all kind of missed the boat on this one.
So a kind of thing I'm also thinking about, they could be getting ready for him because Wrestle Kingdom's coming up in the beginning of January. So he still is the IWGP United States champion over there. So he could be getting ready to go over there to do some business over there because he had that title for the longest time and he hasn't been able to defend it because of the pandemic and everything. So
that's hopefully a good point, but you know, I wouldn't think that would have anything to do with him dropping the belt. If that's what you're talking
about. No, I'm just saying it could. I mean, it's you know, with wrestling that kind of those scenarios are like, you know, one and the same. It's just like one minute they could do something, they probably be having him do some business over there. I don't know. I'm just speculating from the hip.
That's right, but you know, just like Benny said, I just think they're at the point where they're gonna give since the Cody's not the champ anymore. So everybody else in the elite is about to get a belt. There ain't no way, ain't no damn way in the world that the boring ass, fraudulent Young Bucks should be the tag team champions right now. But that's another story for another day.
I'm gonna kick Shivani's head off. I'm good.
Shut the fuck up, bruh. Don't stop talking about Tony Schiavone like that. You know what I mean? And I was about to kick it over to you, but since you wanted to, you know what, Mo, we going to you, bro. We're going to come back to Dwayne. We're going to go back to Dwayne since he got jokes. So, Mo, tell us why wrestling sites kill the wrestling fan.
Patty! So, I just remember it was just the time before, you know, the internet became a thing, and we're just watching wrestling, and we're just, you know, kind of excited about what's going on, you know, where the storylines are going. You know, we didn't have that inside drop on who's the next feud's going to be, or who's coming, who's going. It's just like, you know, you looked up and somebody was on the next show the next week, and we were just like, what happened? You know, like how they get here, this, that, and the other. So, you know, we have, you know, sites like the Wrestling Observer that's been around for eons. And then you had other wrestlers, it's like just other wrestling sites on the internet that just, you know, they post their opinions or they post match results, they talk about things like that. And it's just kind of like you behind the curtain and you peek back there, you just see what's going on. And it's like, I kind of just missed the time where, you know, none of that shit really mattered. You know, we just watched it just because we were just excited to see just certain things on TV. Now we're sitting here and we're talking about just everything that's just going on. You know, we find out just little things about that's going on behind the scenes that, you know, I think probably some people still get annoyed when we talk about, you know, when we talk about certain wrestlers getting pushes and who deserves a push, or why this person sitting back and catering, you know, eating all the good food and everything, and it might not on TV and nothing like that. It's just like, you know, I mean, I get wrestling sites are there to provide information and everything, but it's just like, it just ruined just the suspense for us where we were just watching it, and then certain things just happened. Like when heel turns happened, we had to worry about, oh, they're planning on breaking up this tag team or this trio soon so they can give so-and-so a push, you know. It was just, you know, just think of that, like 20 plus years or so of just thinking like, wow, we really are really behind the curtain, just looking at all the inner workings of, it's like kind of like the Wizard of Oz. It's like, just kind of wondering, like when you see that the wizard was just that ordinary man or whatever, and it was just kind of like, damn, like what are we doing here? You know, that was just my whole thing about their whole take about just wrestling sites and everything. Just kind of like, we peek behind the curtain and now we can't stop looking.
So let's go back in time, about 3 hours. Earlier this morning, I was watching some Pro Sting videos on YouTube, him beating up the NWO and all that. And reason I'm bringing this up is because, you know, I was just imagining while Mo was talking, you know, if there was a website back in the day that would have said, you know, there is going to be a disputed finish at the end of Starrcade 97 because he who shall not be named, brother, would be upset at the result. I'd have been like, no, they better not do this. They had better give Sting that belt free and clear. It better be clean as a sheet, blah, 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 blah. I will hate WCW forever if that happens. And then, of course, we all know what happened, how they ended up stretching that thing out for 2 more months. And it just would have ruined everything the way that stuff is ruined now. It's kind of like, you know, with those choose your own adventure books. You know how sometimes you just read them out of order? And you just start like at the middle of the book and you start reading and then you go back. And okay, maybe I was the only one who did that. But anyway, it's just like, I don't even want to say it's spoilers necessarily because, you know, sometimes they're wrong. But especially like when you hear like the stuff that you don't want to hear and then it happens and it just ruins your whole mood. Now, the one reason that WWE, I think, ended up beating WCW back then was because the execution was so good with WWE stuff. Because I also found myself watching like some old Triple H and Rock stuff before I started watching the Sting stuff earlier. It's like the execution was so good. The matches were so good. The stuff that happened in front of the cameras was so good and so entertaining that it didn't matter that you wanted to know that you knew what happened because I was like, okay, cool. I mean, they still did it right. So I think now, while the sites are a problem, it can be overcome with good execution. And right now, we're not getting that on. We're definitely not getting it on Monday or Friday, which is why I find myself listening to Cornette on those days rather than watching those shows. But we're really not getting it that much on Wednesday either. So at the risk of sounding like a broken record, Billy Corgan, like, what's up? Like, we got to get this Tuesday thing rolling again. But Dwayne, what you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where it does take away the element of surprise nowadays, where, you know, you have that, you have the, what's the word I'm looking for? You have the anticipation, you have that unknown, that's the word I'm looking for. You have that unknown of, and the unpredictability, because now you go on, you kind of like, you go on a site, you see what's going on behind the scenes, and then it's, then you kind of predict it, even though a lot of the shit that is out right now is very predictable as it is, but you already also know what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, or if there's any kind of rewrites. Like, basically, the sites create a whole nother show from the actual show itself. It is creating, like, I mean, it creates a whole nother dynamic. So it's like, you're getting literally a free show when you're reading these things, seeing who's coming, who's going, how you're going to write this person off, how you're going to break up this tag team, blah, 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 blah. And then when it goes into the actual motion and on the TV, then you're just like, okay, whoop-de-doo. And sometimes the exit, there's a select few nowadays who can pull off said execution flawlessly. Like, for example, Bailey and Sasha, like they sold the hell out of the breakup and the rivalry afterwards and things of that sort. And then there's others who just don't get it done. Like for example, with the unnecessary breakup of Heavy Machinery, like Tucker got relegated to the E spot on main event. Like, how you gonna get relegated? How you gonna go from, you know, pay-per-views to the E slot on the E show? Like, how is that possible? And then you have the waste of space, Titus O'Neil just wallowing and catering. Like, why are you still there? So back to the sites. I'm going on a tangent, but back to the sites though. I really think that, you know, from, I look at it two ways. One way from the watching it on the TV, you know, from the nostalgic days, like the unpredictability, getting hype, like for a surprise return. And now, you know, this person's coming. It's just like, okay, bring him on out already. It does suck, but, you know, that's really the, I really wish we could kind of go back to that old school way, but, you know, with all these mediums of technology, it's not going to happen. And that's just the unfortunate reality that we just had to accept.
Yeah, I guess I'm on the complete end of the spectrum. I really don't care. And I understand that a lot of people do, but, you know, I think once the sport was revealed to me to not be an actual sport, I really didn't mind not knowing. I mean, excuse me, knowing what was going to happen. So, you know, I guess for me, it's more, okay, if I know this is supposed to happen or they're going to do X, Y, Z, it's all about the execution at that point. You know, we sometimes, I mean, you could say at a point that the internet has taken away from a lot of things. It's taken away from television shows, it's taken away from movies. You know, we can pretty much go on a website throughout a movie's process and know who's going to be in it, what's, you know, the basic premise of what's going to happen, and, you know, go into hell. The way they even do trailers today, you see most of the damn movie in the trailer. You know what I mean? At the very least, they give you damn near all of the good parts in the trailer. So to me, it's really about the execution of it. I still think at, you know, a small percentage that despite all the information that's out there, that there's things that happen in the business that we genuinely do get surprised about. Now, I can't think off the top of my head what my last genuine surprise was. Hell, I mean, I don't know. I kind of throw it to y'all. If y'all got one that you can think about, one, my last genuine surprise might have been Shane McMahon coming back. I can't really remember a last one.
I know. I remember when mine was. When was and it was one that I saw in person. The Hardy Boys at WrestleMania in Orlando.
I was going to say that. That's what I was going to say, too.
Okay. See, on that one, you know, I thought they were, you know, I figured they were bullshitting that whole time. I thought they would come back the next day, not at WrestleMania.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, so that was a genuine surprise, too.
Yeah, but they said they was the day before, they would say they was hosting a all day WrestleMania party. So
yeah, that's I didn't believe that.
And the next thing you know, when a New Day said one more team to be left, and the next thing you know, all you hear is the do.
So them saying that they were throwing that party had no percentage for me thinking that they were going to not be at WrestleMania. That sounds like that was the most tired excuse. Chris Jericho has said stuff that was more believable. Right. And that was another point. You know, it's those stories after the fact that, you know, they talk about sneaking people in, you know, and keeping them in a secret after the fact that I think have been surprises. So, I mean, I think let me finish the thought real quick. I think at the core, even though the information is out there, I think that we can still genuinely be surprised. But like a soap opera, like, I want the execution to be correct. And to be bluntly honest, like, the way that the industry is right now, like, I don't want to watch wrestling with blinders on. Like, I need to
know that part.
I need to know what bullshit I'm getting into before I commit.
Right.
Dwayne, what you about to say, bro?
I was going to say the only surprise I can also remember when Lesnar came back in Miami and F5 the shit out of Cena. That's all I was going to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can say like Cena coming back at Royal Rumble 2008. That was a surprise because really nobody knew that he was coming back, probably like except for a few people. And then when he popped out at number 30,
or even Edge, when Edge came back.
Oh, yeah. But it was like you kept seeing things, Edge is going to be, Edge was like, it was like leading up to it. Edge was going to a doctor in Pittsburgh,
I'm talking about the first time he came back from an injury, not last year.
Last year?
Yeah. The first time before he retired, he was hurt and he came back at a Royal Rumble. I can't remember the year off the top of my head. But I remember he came out there with like a big, you could tell at that point he was living in Asheville because that man came out with a straight mountaineer look. Thick ass beard. Like, dude, you really love that North Carolina life. Tell him. but even, you know, I like I said, I still think that we can be surprised. I mean, two things that y'all said about Lesnar coming back and Cena coming back. You know, you even talk about their match at SummerSlam. Didn't nobody see that coming, you know? Or even I'll throw Lesnar in there again. Lesnar versus Goldberg. Nobody saw a minute and 26 seconds.
You ain't lying on that one.
Like, and even if you thought it would be 1 minute or 2 minutes, you definitely didn't think Goldberg was winning that. I didn't hear nobody say, and I didn't see anybody type that they thought Goldberg was winning that match. So, you know, I do vibe with the point that wrestling sites have taken away from this standpoint. It's made some people stupid. I'm just going to leave it at that. Because we deal with it all the time when we get on the Twitter machine.
Exactly. And, I was about to say that.
and we're talking through Raw and SmackDown and NXT and Dynamite and these pay-per-views. You just hear and see all the stupid.
Oh, all so, the takes. You'd be like, what are you talking like, about?
Where the fuck did that come from?
feelings.
There you go. So, I think that's another perfect segue talking about dumbass marks and their feelings. So, Dwayne, you got a beef with annoying ass marks. State your beef, bro.
My first beef is, one, you know this is entertainment, right? I just always, when I deal with marks, when we were able to go to the live events, things of that sort, one really kind of sticks out in particular. Sean, you remember this in Atlanta at 27, where we had that annoying ass family behind us. Where
I remember that
they literally questioned us, like, why are you not into this? Da, 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 da. We just had to look at them like, because, like, we look at it from a different angle, like,
it's not real, B. It's not real, B.
It's not real to us,
like. It's just really, it's really, really, and I think also, though, it reminds me of the South Park episode where they satire the WWE with the Wrestling Takedown Federation, WTF. And basically, I'll try to set it up here. So basically, the boys went to a wrestling event in Denver, and they ended up starting their own wrestling promotion. And they signed up to actually do wrestling under the impression it was going to be entertainment. But the teacher was actually showing them real wrestling moves, and the boys called it gay because the teacher was doing traditional wrestling holds and they're like, this is gay, I quit. So they start their own promotion with wild ass stories, wild ass characters, and they end up having Vince McMahon come out to visit them. And if you're gonna watch it, great, it's been on for like years, so I'll just give it away anyway. So basically at the end, the teacher gets up, is like, this is not real wrestling, da 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 da. And Vince McMahon ends up being moved by the teacher's real life feelings and actually ends up signing the teacher. So it was the irony of it was basically the one that took it seriously ends up going to the thing he absolutely hates. And so back to the annoying-ass marks, though. It's like, it was another moment where I was really annoyed when sometimes we get our fellow Raw cast members and SmackDown, our WrestleCast members, and I'm calling some of y'all motherfuckers out because y'all be in y'all feelings as well. And y'all need to calm the hell down. You know this shit is scripted. You know this shit ain't real. Stop being so fucking invested into it. Like, there's no reason why the push account can't say what we feel without having somebody hit us up with a shut up, bitch. Like, really? Is it that serious? It's not. So, all I want to say to the dumbass marks, and I know everybody on this podcast, on this show, has had an encounter with a dumbass mark. And I would love to hear those encounters. But drink some prune juice, let the shit go. Enjoy the fucking show. Even as shitty as it is, just enjoy the show. We doing this for the humor, and if you ain't got a sense of humor, this ain't for you, man. Fuck you if you don't have a sense of humor. Okay, I'm done.
Fuck the marks. I like that. That's a new hashtag right there.
New hashtag.
Y'all know me. Y'all know I ain't got no room for no feelings. So, you know, that's what it boils down for me is, you know, the shit's just not real. We know this. So can we be adults and treat it as such? Like, if we're going to have a conversation about professional wrestling, can we talk about it as adults instead of the, you know, 8, 7, 6 year olds that we used to be?
Right.
Watching, you know, WCW Saturday Night or WWF Superstar. Like, it ain't that. It ain't that no more. Like, you know,
the business has evolved.
That, and guess what, people? When The Undertaker walks out tonight and does his stick, when he walks, as soon as he walks back beyond the curtain, he's Mark Calloway. Like, his ass ain't going to hibernate in a coffin. Like, the shit is fake. So can we talk about it from that perspective?
Exactly.
No. Like, let's have real conversations and not act like that this shit is like everyday life. Like, I ain't got to cheer somebody just because you cheering somebody. Like, I don't have to like somebody. I don't have to dislike somebody. And I damn sure don't have to cheer or boo who the masses are.
Right.
So, and if something don't make sense to me, then it don't make sense to me. And I ain't vibing with it.
Especially when the Thunder don't tell you to cheer or boo.
Exactly. So guess what? Fuck you and the Silver Dome.
I was about to say, so you go? Are you going back to the Silver Dome, sir? If they have an invite,
dude, they send me an invite every damn time registration opens, and every damn time I get it, delete. We'll never go to the Silver Dome again.
That's crazy, bro. I ain't gonna tell you who to cheer for.
I will never forget this. Give me scared faces.
you know what? We haven't seen that person. We haven't seen that person on TV in a couple weeks now.
You're right. You know, the only thing that I would ever be scared of when it comes to Lars Sullivan if he was standing right behind me.
Oh my God.
He will be the freak then.
Oh my God. Look,
Lars Sullivan never stood behind me. Look, I'll either be like,
I'll show you who the freak is.
I'll either be like Michael Cole and when hiding right him, or I run out there. I don't know which is more high pitched. I'm either getting Marlon Wayne's high pitched or Chris Tucker high pitched. You
know? Oh my God.
I'm getting
goodness.
The fuck up out of that.
That is crazy. Oh man. My dealings with Marks is just basically, you know, I think it was one of the last shows that WWE had in Baltimore. I think it was like, matter of fact, this was the WrestleMania before, I think it was 2 years ago, the one where Kofi won the title. And so I had, you know, floor seats and everything. And I just wanted to go sit in my seat. So it was these two girls, with two women, they were sitting there and I'm sitting here just, you know, like, the girl had her food sitting in the seat where I'm supposed to be sitting at. And she's all excited, ready for the show to start. And the show get ready to start and everything. And I'm like trying to motion to her, like, can she move her food from out my seat? So she proceeds to like throw a fit. I mean, a legit tantrum. And I'm just sitting, and the person that people that do security was like, well, you gotta go sit somewhere. And I'm like, well, she won't let me sit in my seat. She got food right there. So it was like empty seats towards the rail where you see where the entrance is being done at. So I just sit over there and I got to see the wrestlers come out, get some good pictures up close. And I was like, no, fuck that seat. I mean, I paid for the ticket and everything, but I got an even better seat. And I got to see, you know, the wrestlers come out and everything. Got to see Becky Lynch. She came strolling through there, you know, looking at, she looked at The Miz and just passed over him. Like, that's such an unfortunate sight right there. And she came out, you know, she was, you know, came out there. It's like Kevin Owens had just returned and everything. And I was just thinking, like, he's about to turn heel because he came out there with a New Day and everything. And they was talking about how he was going to beat Daniel Bryan for the title and everything. So, and it was just like, you know, just like we dealing with people who's like, it's like they suspend belief like every day. They don't sit there and think about reality. And, you know, she wouldn't give me my seat, the seat that I paid for. But I got even better seat. Say again.
It was a Karen, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It definitely was. And she do a full-blown tantrum, too. And the security came over there and was like, we got to sit somewhere. I was like, fine. I was sitting over there, close to the rail. So when I'm sitting here yelling and seeing the wrestlers, you can't see because I'm going to block your view. And yes, I am petty like that, listeners. I am.
I support petty all the way.
So, Benny, you have any deals with Marks, anything like that? I know you got a story or two.
I was trying to remember, like, this one thing. I think the last time I really had to deal with somebody like that was, okay, so it's no secret to anybody within the sound of my voice that I do not like Curly Sue. Once I said something, I can't even remember what it was, but I think this was a few months ago. And I was, you know, mentioning my dislike for Leaky. And yeah, I'm going to run down every stupid name that man has ever had.
Oh my goodness. Those old FCW clips are hilarious, though, by the way. But go ahead.
So, this dude who actually hosts another podcast, it's not in the WrestleCast family, thank God, starts running off at the mouth to me. And I'm one of those people on Twitter, it's like, look, dog, if I don't know you and you jump towards me, oh, we about to have it out. So, you know, we had it out that one little time, and I was like, okay, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I moved on because whatever. So I'm sitting here talking about something else, just totally, I mean, it's still wrestling, but it's totally unrelated, like, you know, the next week or whatever. Same dude starts popping off at me again. I'm like, you didn't follow me. So I don't know why you're back here in my mentions. Talking jump to me again. So we went through the whole thing again, and it kept going on for like 2 weeks. And I mean, I didn't block him or anything, so I guess he just, actually, maybe I did. I don't know. But at some point, I just got tired of it. And I'm just like, really? If it gets to the point to you where you have to look for someone who is not even in your sphere on Twitter, then yeah, it means a little bit too much to you. Like, I don't have time. Well, maybe technically, by definition, I might have time. I should say, I don't have the inclination to look for random people that I don't know who aren't even on the same hashtags or whatever or in WrestleCast and talk bad about their opinions of wrestling, especially not to go past one single comment. Like, look at this nonsense here. Like, dog, it ain't that important. it ain't that crucial. I mean, you know, we've all heard the famous saying on Twitter, you know, don't come for me unless I send for you. And it's just like,
oh, I'm man. Not can even you, that can crucial you, with I'm it. Sorry. Can you say that one more time?
Don't come for me unless I send for you.
Oh, man. Preach it. Preach.
Because, I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you want to laugh, joke, talk, kick it, whatever, you know what I'm saying? If it's positive or even neutral, I'm fine with it. And people can go through my mentions and see quite a few examples of that. But if you don't know me and you pop off negative, yeah, it's not going to be a good day for you, especially if I've got time. And if you try to make it personal, I will make time. Because now,
nah, like my hey, cat, I'll murder your dog.
Right. And Sean knows. Matter of fact, I'm going to bring up, and it's, there was one time with Sean, I guess it was about a month ago, and I'm surprised he didn't mention this.
Uh-oh. And fighting on the push.
Like, might have missed this one.
No. It wasn't me and Sean.
No.
Sean and I have never had a fight about mm-hmm. anything.
No. I might have missed this tag team.
But, I didn't even get involved. It was just one of those, I think it was a pay-per-view. Because I remember looking, then you know, because I didn't watch said pay-per-view.
Oh, was this was this Hell in the Cell or was it the one before Hell in the Cell? was this that night?
Clash of Champions.
Was this that night? If that was that night, then yes, I was a witness for this one. And I was like, I was a witness for this one.
I'm sitting here like, what in the world happened?
That was the night that inspired this hot take.
Right, exactly. I got pulled, like, hold up, what's going on? I was like, listen. I was like, we cool now. I was like, because I got pulled to the side, like, hey, what's going on? Everything cool. I was like, hey, I said, listen, tensions ran a little high, but we good. I said, we should be good. We should be good. It was like, ain't no beef, no nothing like that. I was like, leave me out of this.
Yes, because that night, because that was the night I'm like, this ain't that serious. Two, Sean's gonna roast your ass. Three, Sean knows that if it does get to be too much, then I'm gonna yank and be like, okay, bruh, let's just end this right now. But yeah, that was the night because I was annoyed to the point where I was like, I gotta make this a hot take because this needs to quit right now.
Oh my goodness, this that night. I said, if we didn't have wild nights in 2020, that was one of them.
I mean, somebody just went straight Gucci, and that was like,
what is going on?
You gonna learn here. You gonna learn. Anybody can get it.
anybody can get it.
Don't come with that bullshit. You can give it out.
You kick our cat, I'm gonna murder your dog.
There you go. And speaking of bullshit, let's transition to the last hot take. And let me know how y'all feel about this. Now, I had planned to go through all the stats and stuff to kind of back up my argument, but I really don't think that's necessary. I think I can kind of limit it down a little bit and still make my point about this perceived NXT versus AEW argument, because everybody talks about it, you know, and everybody makes WWE to be the bad guy. Look, we always say this, you know, amongst ourselves, the Push Crew, WrestleCast, fam, you know, we got a whole lot of shit that we can talk about when it comes to WWE being on that bullshit. But in regards to this, you know, NXT versus AEW thing, you know, you got even folks like Jim Ross. I mean, but, you know, Jim Ross always got the red ass. so that's no surprise. But, you know, other people in the industry. Well, you know, NXT did this, XYZ. You know, NXT didn't have to come on Wednesday nights. They started it. But now they're getting their ass whooped. But did NXT really start this? I don't really think so. You know, and that's my point. AEW started this. And I'm going to tell you why. And this is my hot take. WWE Network's been on for a while. First ever live show on the WWE Network was NXT Arrival. Sure, everybody remembers that. I would say when Bo Dallas was relevant. Where the hell is he? but then a funny thing happened with NXT. On January 14, 2015, the first episode of NXT was featured. Great card, by the way. Finn Balor versus Tyson Kidd. Baron Corbin versus Bull Dempsey. Where the fuck is Bull? Man, I miss Bull. Little compact looking fat motherfucker. It was cool. Charlotte and Natalya versus Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks. What the hell? Where'd that come from? Sami Zayn beating Neville. Defending the NXT championship. On this episode of NXT, that was the first time NXT aired on a Wednesday night. So all this time, we've been accustomed to seeing NXT on Wednesday nights, 8 o'clock. You know the new episode of NXT is going to pop up on the WWE Network. So here we fast forward to 2019, and AEW announces that Dynamite would debut on TNT on Wednesdays, beginning that October. So if NXT was always on Wednesday nights, and we're accustomed to watching, and I mean, I don't even care if you're one of those ones that didn't watch NXT when it came on. Maybe you didn't watch it at 8 o'clock. Maybe you waited until later that night. Maybe you waited to the next day. Maybe you waited to the weekend. That was your own personal choice. But if there's a lot of wrestling folks out there that prefer to see things live, and if you are one of those live viewers, then you turned on the WWE Network on Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock to watch NXT for 4 years. And here comes AEW to take away that audience. Now there's less people tuning into the WWE Network at 8 o'clock to watch NXT. This is a business at the end of the day. If I'm WWE, of course. If I got a network partner that's looking for more wrestling content since I just moved one of my shows over to the Fox network, of course I'm going to take the opportunity to put another wrestling show on television. So hell yeah, WWE had every right as a business to make that move to put NXT on the USA Network on Wednesday night. At the same time that NXT has always been on. But why don't we talk about that when we talk about who started the war? You know why? Because if you did talk about it, then your argument that WWE started it would be very, very fragile. And so what? That Dynamite has been beaten NXT. In all honesty, Dynamite should beat NXT. Just by star power alone. Just by the fact that you do have some established name brand stars out there. Chris Jericho, Jon Moxley. You got Jim Ross calling the action. You got Tony Schiavone back on TV. Cody Rhodes is a fairly recognizable name. They should beat them. But to stick on that narrative that WWE started this, yo, you're not looking at the whole picture. You're not looking at the whole picture. It's easy to shit on WWE for a lot of reasons, but AEW did this. They knew what they were going to do. They did it. And they knew WWE was going to do this in response. So to spin the narrative and say that they started this and they should put NXT on another night, why the fuck didn't you put Dynamite on another night? Hell, put it on Monday night. I would love to see Dynamite versus Raw. Personally, I think Dynamite, in the end, will pull a Nitro and start whooping Raw's ass. But yeah, folks, we really need to look at the big picture. Like I said, we can punch WWE in the face about many things, but the one thing that they did not do was start this Wednesday Night War. What you think, fella?
Well,
Jericho started it.
Well, he did. But if we recall, I think WWE was in Jacksonville for a taping, and AEW held their press conference where they was, you know, announcing their show, and they had all their stars, and everybody came out for, you know, for the big press conference and everything. So, yeah, they fired their first shot. And, of course, they're going to try to say it's not a war or anything like that. But when you're doing things like that to, you know, bring eyes to your product, of course you're asking for it. And, yeah, like you said, like Sean said, AEW is beating NXT in, you know, some of the rankings and everything, you know, with the viewerships and everything, and they should, but it's at the same time, you knew what you was doing when you said you was bringing your product over there to TNT on Wednesday nights. You knew what you was doing. You knew what the consequence was going to be. You couldn't just think that, oh, WWE was just going to just stand by idle and just let that happen. No. And so it's, I mean, we can say it's a war, we can say it's a lot of things, but at the same time, AEW could have went to another day and, you know, they could have been like, okay, we got this day on lock, this is our day, like wrestling is for Tuesday nights or something like that, you know. But now it's like WWE wanting to, you know, USA Network is putting pressure saying, you know, we want, you know, NXT on Tuesday nights because it's ratings wise, it's for the greater good. And, you know, we always knew for NXT to be on Wednesday nights, even when it was just solely to the network. And that was Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, boom, we watched the NXT. You know, we already know what's going on. But I just hope for that sake, if AEW wants to be, you know, a recognized force in the business, get that women's division together. And that's another take for another day, but I really want them to get that women's division together because it shouldn't be, you shouldn't have a champion. I mean, you see what NXT gave us last week with EO and Rhea Ripley. And the build they had towards that match. You can't wait for like, you know, 2 months or so and just say, oh, we're going to give you Nyla Rose and I forgot the women's champion's name. I want to keep saying Rio, but that's not the champion.
Ricardo Shida.
Yeah, Ricardo Shida. You can't just give us that match and expect people to care about it. And then you have something happen at the end of the match and you don't have no follow-up on it. It's like, come on now, what are we doing here? This is why NXT is, you know, women's division is definitely going toward the heights, going to the heights they are now. The War Games setup they're gonna have for that next pay-per-view. Oh, we already know it's gonna be lit. So AEW, if they want to talk about war, they need to get that women's division together if they want a chance in this war. And I'll toss it to the rest of y'all.
Funny thing, going just to piggyback on the whole women's division thing is with AEW, the best women's matches over the last couple months have been the ones that have not had AEW women in them. I mean, the ones with like with any combination of Thunder Rosa and Serena Deeb, those have blown the AEW women's matches, what women's matches we've seen with AEW wrestlers, out of the water. They're just such better wrestlers. And if I'm Tony Khan, I just really have to say, look, Billy, just let us have them for right now. Just let us sign, because see, like, for instance, like the NWA Women's Championship match that was on last week with Rosa and Serena. When's the last time we've seen any AEW match with their own women, solely their own women, that was that good? It's going to take a while to think of one.
But who knew Serena Deeb was still really that good, though? I mean, it just shows that when WWE was holding her back those years and everything, because she really has been kicking ass.
Yeah, she's been really good. And I mean, and they, you know, they had Allison Kay on there one time on AEW one time recently. And it's just like, oh. And, I mean, and then funny, and NWA does have a better women's division than AEW.
Oh yeah, they do. They
really, really do. And it's just like all this money that y'all have, and shoot, AEW let some women go to Impact. Like, for instance, there is no reason that Deonna Purrazzo should be in Impact right now instead of AEW. None.
None.
Hey, what are y'all
doing? But do you think Jade Cargill's the future?
I don't know if I've seen enough to say one way or the other. But, like Nice was saying, and by the way, shout out to Nice.
Yeah, shout out to Nice.
If y'all not listen to Cornette and Last talk about that whole first Jade Cargill
thing, I thought it was Linda Miles all over again.
Man!
And then, so I mean, I was talking about on the WrestleCast, and I was like, he was like, wait, man, who was that? I was like, you ever remember Shaniqua? You don't remember Shaniqua with the Basham brothers?
Mm-mm-mm. Oh, man, Linda Miles. Oh, man. But yeah, it's just, you know, with AEW, they need to, and people are saying, well, you know, they lost Chris Statlander and they lost Britt Baker. Okay. Two women, neither of whom has had a sniff of that championship.
Nope. And hell, what's Big Swole doing? Like, what's Big Swole doing? Big Swole could be the face of the division if they wanted to and everything, but they're not really doing it. They just keep putting in the hands of just, they're not really pushing it. And I know Tony Khan hears people talk about it and sees what people are saying on Twitter, but he's just not really, they're not really doing anything about it. And if Kenny Omega is still booking them, then he needs to really, like, you know, make a change to say, hey, we need, this is who you need to get on TV and everything.
Yeah, like, I totally agree with the concept that Britt Baker should have been the face of that division to start off. She really should have been. And the thing is, if she was, that would have made, you know, her thing with Swole so much better.
Even when she was injured, she was still a prominent force on the show.
Yeah.
And I was just like, so what are y'all doing?
Honestly, come to think of it, those were the best segments that AEW's women's division has ever produced. They really are. Right. Like, the stuff with her and Swole when she was hurt. Where to, Brittany? When I tell you I yelled at that segment. But that's the only time. I mean, I've been on record as saying, like, how much I grew to like Riho in that time that she was champion. Because I had never heard of her when they started off last year. And then I really started digging her story.
Man, she back in Stardom, I believe, though. I think I saw a clip of her wrestling in Stardom, like, recently. Because she can't get back over here because of the pandemic.
Right, right. You know what I mean? And I'm, you know, and I've grown to like the people that they have pushed. I will admit that. You know, I like Sheeta. I mean, y'all have seen my Ready for the World influence tweets about Sheeta. But it's like, okay, you're doing a good job over here, but there are just obvious things that y'all could be doing that y'all aren't getting right. And I know we have one WrestleCast member who always notes the time that we get the one women's segment in the show. And I know y'all have seen the tweets. 9:18, 9:36, 9:25.
Shout out to Simi.
Yeah. And it's like, and she has a point. Like, dog. If y'all are going to have a women's division, y'all got to do right by this women's division. And with Omega running things, especially now that he's starting to get his own push, I'm really starting to wonder, like, where they're going to go. I'm not saying turn it over to somebody like Brandy, but, you know.
No, she'll bring that Blackson back.
Yeah. Oh man, but yeah, like y'all, like AEW, like for real, like y'all have got to do something, because that's where y'all are getting mobbed. Like the men are pretty much standing up, and the funny thing about that is, you know, we're talking about whether you want to call NXT the developmental brand still, or whether you want to say it's, you know, the men and women who would just rather stay in Orlando than, well, I can't say tour the country right now because of everything that's going on, or they just don't want to deal with the main roster nonsense. We can go with that.
That's true.
Yeah, like y'all are, you know, y'all aren't competing with Raw. Y'all aren't competing with SmackDown. Y'all are competing with what WWE has continued to tell us is the third brand. Whether that's true in terms of quality or not is a, you know, is a different argument. But the company line is telling us that it's the third brand, and y'all really ain't beating them by all that much.
I was waiting for that connector to get back to my fucking hot take. Y'all niggas just went on a whole damn 10-minute rant about the women.
Sorry about that. But you said it was a war. I was just like, well, here's the thing about the war. This is a part of the war that they lacking in, and they need that part if they want to make it a war. If you said they started and everything, you know, this is where you need to step their game up at.
Spin. I feel the spin. You spent that really well.
I totally forgot what I was going to say. But yeah, that Sean, go ahead, because I got shit in.
The way, like, no, they went on so long, I done forgot.
All right. Well, we can bring this one to a close. You know, we got plenty of hot take episodes coming up for you guys. Hopefully, we can get back to doing more of these on a regular basis. Hell, the holidays coming. Work's going to be a little easier. So, a little bit more time to jump back on the mic with you fellas. Definitely enjoy it as usual. Looking forward to the next episode that we get to record, since Survivor Series is happening this weekend, or when you listen to this, it just happened. We're going to spend our time on our next episode talking about the career of Mark Calloway, also known as The Undertaker. We're going to talk about all our favorite moments from WWF days. You know, somebody like me, I'm going to talk a little bit about Mean Mark as well. So we're going to look at them top to bottom. And this is not going to be no stroke off fest. That's not how we do things. So we're going to celebrate The Undertaker, but we're going to look at it all. We're going to look at the good, the bad, and the ugly next time on Push.